I'll ask you to turn with me to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I hope that you can walk with me through what I believe is one of the most important stories in the Bible. It's part of another far greater story, that is the story of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And of course, only that story deserves to be called the greatest story of all. But this smaller story tells us what the story of Jesus' death on the cross has to do with you and me personally. And for that reason, it is truly one of the most important stories. You know, let's begin by thinking about the characters that are found in this story. After having been betrayed by Judas, then turned over to the chief priests and examined by Pilate and found by him to be innocent, and after, in spite of his innocence, began given over for execution, after he had been abused by the soldiers and beaten with scourge, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was laid away to be crucified. Keep that in your mind, because that's where we're going. Let's pray. My Father, my God, and my Savior, I thank you for your grace.
Amen.
I thank you for your mercy. Father, where would we be if it wasn't for that moment at the cross? And Father, you... This is a willing choice, not thy will, but God's will was done. His plan was accomplished in you. And you submitted to it, Lord, and you humbled yourself to the death of this cross for each and every one of us. And I'm glad you get us. So I thank you for that. But I thank you for this story. It's such an important piece of the puzzle, Father. And we need to remember, we need to understand that maybe if we don't know you as Savior, maybe this is the day for salvation. Maybe this is the perfect day for someone. But Father, I only can trust you. I leave this in your hands. I give you the preeminence. I humble myself before you. I ask that your anointing and your blessing will be, because the Spirit is here and in the hearts of your people, speaking directly, collectively, individually, however you want it done. But Father, I trust you.
Yes.
Father, and I trust your word.
Amen.
Bless it now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So let me get there, because I'm not there. Right? Luke 23, here we go. So from verse 39 through 43, we're at today. And I really believe this is, you know, and I found this. I found this because in our Bible study, we were in Mark 14. And Mark 14 consists of Matthew 26, Luke 22, you got John 13 through 17 all put together in Mark 14. And I decided to go on the journey to read all this to understand Mark 14. Because a lot of us will read Mark 14 and that's it. And my Bible tells me, no, there's a lot that God said during this one chapter. And it's a lineup, but here's the ultimate goal of this whole writing. In verse 39, the word of the Lord tells us this. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And this was not said nicely, it was rude. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. A few verses, but what an impact. What an unbelievable moment in time in history. Think about this. Who are these two guys? I mean, we know very little about them, right? The Bible doesn't give us their names. It doesn't even tell us clearly what it was that they had done. It only tells us that they were criminals. Now, in Matthew's gospel, he uses the word robbers, but even then, the word in the original language is vague. all that we can really say for sure, that these are just bad guys that deserve their punishment. Mm-hmm. And we know that. They were crooks, right? They were found to be severely guilty to be on the cross. I mean, the Romans, when they wanted to ultimately punish someone, the cross was the way.
Yeah.
So perhaps it's best that these two men, whoever they were, are nameless to us, and that their specific crime is left untold. The way we can place ourselves in the story with them, it was, after all, no mere accident that these two men were crucified with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was a fulfillment of the promise of God that had made long ago in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:12.
Yep.
We're told about how this promise of this Messiah, the Christ, was to die. The Bible says he was numbered, right, with the transgressors.
Yeah.
But when Jesus, the sinless Christ, listen to this, died on the cross, he didn't die far away from the realities of human sin.
Hmm.
About that. Just as was promised, you know, again, centuries ago before it happened, he died surrounded by sinners. He was numbered with transgressors. What a picture is that God has given to us at the cross and of his love. Listen, truly, one who knew no sin became sin for us.
That's right, amen.
And what a beautiful picture here. So, you know, those are the characters of the story. You see, and Jesus could have been crucified alone. But I really believe that one of the reasons that God, the Father, decreed that transgressors were to be crucified on either side was so that this conversation could occur so that we may know the love of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Think about this. And when I see this, when I get this, rightly considered to all, it's one of the most profound, important conversations that ever was recorded in human history. It was a conversation between a sinner and a God. What a picture.
Amen.
And so we get this here, and we understand that the Lord has given us. I mean, when I look at verse 43, the answer's all there. Because God listened to a sinner. You know, and the key that I want you to understand is that God gets us. He understands every heart and pain and sorrow. He understands the challenges and the doubts and the fears and the pains that we go through. But yet he's always that near to be able to answer the very pain and challenge you have. And he says, come unto me.
Amen.
He always tells us that because he's that near. You know, a lot of times, God, you don't hear me. God, you don't understand. And he's right there. And he's that close. And then we wonder why we're struggling with the facts of trying to be in our own mind what we want us to be when God says, let it go. Just draw nigh to me.
Amen.
I'll draw nigh to you. Mm-hmm. You know, the one who's bothering you, the one who's making you suffer mentally, emotionally, and all that is Satan. Mm-hmm. I'll get rid of it. Just draw nigh to me. And that's a relationship. And so here at this moment of the cross, it had to be amazing just to see that these two guys, first of all, are tempting God, you know, because it said malefactors. That's plural. Mm-hmm. That's both. It's not just one. And they had their doubts and fears, and you know, and which were hand railed him. Think about this. Heavy conversation. Are you the Christ?
Yeah.
Are you the Savior? Are you the one that I should be going after and looking for?
Mm.
The doubts and fears. I mean, we've been there just before we got saved. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the right relationship that I should be in. I don't know if I should get saved because I'm not really right. I don't know, God, if you're the one who should be really in my side because I'm not worthy of it. I mean, you go through all this.
Yeah.
And you rail God every time. Mm. And God is saying, no, I still love you. I'm still here. I'm still working with you.
Amen.
And I see the blessings here because he says, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. I mean, everyone, Romans, all those soldiers, everybody was saying the same question. Mm-hmm. You know, tempting him to know. But yet, for God so loved the world, he showed a compassion on that cross. He showed a mercy and a grace on that cross that no matter how angry the world was, how angry AI gets, yet he was in control.
Yeah.
Yet he was still at peace. And yet he's still loving the sinner the way God wants to love a sinner. What a wonderful, awesome God we serve. And so I see this here. And Jesus could have, again, been crucified alone, but I believe the reason that God, the Father, made this happen was so that he could be close enough to a sinner to let them know that in Christ, in him, is hope, is salvation.
Hallelujah.
You know, it was a conversation that sinners had with the Son of God, and we're no different. The Bible tells me clearly, go to John 14. Let's go on a journey. Matter of fact, no, stop there. Isaiah 53. Let me give you a picture. We'll journey on some points, and then I'm going to go back to John, because we need to see what the Bible says. You know, a lot of times we miss the bigger picture because we're not students of the Word. Mm-hmm. And when the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, you know, mm-hmm. once you're saved, you got a responsibility.
That's right.
It's to get to know the Christ who saved you.
You got it.
But for you to just, you know, women with minimals of the Word of God and daily breads and stuff like that doesn't cut it. Mm-hmm. You'll never get to know him.
Yeah. Mm.
You really got to sit and talk with him. You really got to be still and know. You really got to hear that still small voice mm-hmm. by just seeking him wholeheartedly. Amen. And a lot of times we're not there, and we miss the mark, and we know why we're getting beat up. We're not sure about our salvation because Satan is throwing you on the one side, and God is saying, just draw near to me. Mm-hmm. When you draw nigh to God and you seek him wholeheartedly, my mm-hmm. friend, it's like these troubles, you know, kind of go away. But when you leave him, when you draw to your own understanding and you seek your own flesh, your own desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, guess what happens? You're going to be full of anxiety, full of depression, full of manic episodes of things in your life because you don't know how to handle what's before you. And God is telling you, draw nigh to me. And so here, when you see chapter 53, verse 11, he says this, he shall see of the travails of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall what? Bear their iniquities. Mm-hmm. What an awesome God at the cross.
That's right.
Think about this. Go to Revelations 2. Revelations 2. Revelations chapter 2. And watch this scripture. It's just awesome what God does. Because this is a question that I'll pose for you today. In chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 7, it says, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. So the question is, which of the malefactors do you side with? Because somebody has to have an ear to hear.
Amen.
You know, and here is where I love what God does. I mean, his promises are clear, right? I mean, John chapter 14. Let's go there where I was going to go mm-hmm. for a moment. I mean, you guys know this. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, but I need to share something that I learned from Bible study. And it's important because if this is a promise to us, then I'm sure that I can seek him wholeheartedly because he's promised it.
Amen.
Verse 1 says, let not your heart, what? Be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is part of Mark chapter 14, by the way. From chapter 13 to 17 was in Mark 14. And I want you to understand that Jesus here gives the instructions to those, the disciples and all those around us, says, listen, let not your heart be troubled. You believe also in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That where I am, there you may be also.
Hallelujah.
I think these guys got a whiff of a lot of stuff that was going on. And I'm just excited that, you know, they didn't have all these scriptures that we're reading.
That's right.
But yet they believe them.
That's right.
They believe that Christ is the answer. Mm-hmm. They didn't have all the scriptures like you and I have. We have the full counsel of God.
Hallelujah.
And yet we don't believe. Yet we don't follow in humility. We don't follow in service. The Bible says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, a lot of times we're in fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of a sound mind. And he's given us hope. He's given us all this, but you got to draw nigh.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, in simplicity, listened, and he drew nigh and accepted his condition. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Bible says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Mm.
Do you believe that?
Mm.
Believe what God is saying. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
Imagine this. We have this written. And they didn't, but they loved like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed. And I believe here there's three wonderful truths of this beautiful salvation. And I'm just excited of what I've learned. And I'll share it with you as God has given them to me. You know, let's go to verse 40 through 42 in Luke 23. Let me give you a picture. Because it says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation, in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I appreciate that, because sometimes it is difficult to accept that God meets us where we're at. It's really difficult. So, because his love for us, he pursues us and leads us to salvation. And I really appreciate that, because it wasn't by accident that those men were led to this place in the presence of Jesus. It wasn't by accident that Jesus was crucified in the middle of these two. It was a divine plan of God.
Mm.
God set the order. And this is so beautiful. God arranged this meeting, just like he does with us.
Amen.
And what a wonderful God we serve. The Bible tells me, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all
men unto me.
Man unto me. What a blessing.
Yep.
And family, when I see this promise, when I understand that this thief confessed, that's the first thing he did in verse 40. He says, listen, don't rebuke him.
Mm.
Right? Let me explain why. Does not thou fear God?
Mm.
This guy's confessing his own sin right then and there. He's understanding that he's a sinner before a holy God. He didn't read the scriptures. He didn't get the Romans Road, you know, in front of him. He just understood the compassion of God.
Hey.
Well, everybody was rebuking and spitting upon him and laughing at him and casting lots and doing all these things. Yet, not one voice of him. But the only thing you hear from his father, forgive him for the
amount
of
what they do.
What a blessed moment. And this guy was just amazed with his compassion and his love. And he comes out and his statement is clear, confession. Dost thou not fear God?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. I'm seeing that thou art the same condemnation. You know, and I'm excited. He declares to Christ in 41. And he says, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward, but this man has done nothing amiss.
Right.
Mm. How did he know that?
Mm.
Next to him, there was no scripture. There was no salvation plan in front of him. There was none of these Old Testament scriptures in front of him. He just knew that he was the Christ.
Ooh.
And he understood. And I appreciate it. Think about it in verse 42. What faith. He called him Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful statement that he said. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. You know, there was Disney did a movie called The Day of the Dead, right? And it was about, you know, the dead, where people worship the dead. And then you have you know, this right to get into, you know, paradise and this and a whole bunch of lies. It's just a confusing, never listen to this stuff. Either way, as beautiful as it was, I watched it, you know, and I didn't know what this was about, but I got the picture of it. And this morning, when I read this and it says, "Remember Me," this was the song of the little kid that he was singing to his grandmother, because his grandfather, who died and he went to the eternity to meet with him, right, is waiting for his wife, and the only thing he's saying is, "Remember Me." What a lie. Has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He just took Christ right out of the whole picture. And this is what people believe. "Oh, que lindo, remember me." No, it's not. No. But this is the lie. This is a brother here. And I'll call him brother because he got saved.
Amen. That's it.
Perhaps this was the first time these men had an opportunity to experience the presence of God. But when they needed him most, he was there.
Amen.
That's where Christ was. He was there, right in the midst of them, reaching out to them. One thief dying on the cross took advantage of God's closeness, and then he said, "Lord," immediately. "How about you? How about you?" You know, God speaks, and God tells us. The prophet Isaiah said it this way: "I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger." What a wonderful statement here in Isaiah 46. I've always been amazed. Listen, in the routine of your life and in the crisis of your life, I just want you to know that God is near.
Amen.
I want you to know that he is your hope in the midst of all that is happening, mind, will, and emotion. God places himself so that there might be experiences of salvation right before you. He'll comfort you. He'll love you. He'll give you the compassion that you're looking for. But you got to be hearing it. You got to be hearing it because he's right there. He's right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's right there. And the Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Wow. What a blessed hope. Let me give you another point, because in verse 42, it says this: "And he said unto the Lord," Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou hast cometh into thy kingdom." And the thief hanging on the cross was still a thief. You got to understand this.
Yeah.
When he said to Jesus, "Lord," but he was no longer a thief when Jesus said to him in 43, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
It changed the story. And you got to understand the Bible. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55.
Amen.
Bible says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he what? May be found. Call ye upon him while what? He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon."
Well, that's God.
Hey. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Hallelujah. And when I see this and I understand, this guy might not know these scriptures at this moment, but the blessing here is what I'm seeing, this transformation that is taking place in the presence of God. What has been isn't what always has to be. Doesn't have to be. You don't have to be a sinner going to hell. God is giving you every opportunity, and he's doing it so more now. Listen, when I Thursday night was doing this this Thanksgiving dinner for the police officers, I took notice, and I leaned back, and, you know, I'm the rookie. I'm trying to learn, and, you know, my thing was to introduce myself, introduce the gospel, introduce our church, trying to put all things together, you know. But I seen a lot of people throw a lot of accolades, you know. "Well, you know, I've done this ministry. I've really fought in this, that." And, you know, I mean, I leaned back, and I said, "Lord, I'm not there to look good." I want you to look good.
Amen.
I want you to have the preeminence in this very moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they send us this letter and says, I'm thankful for those that gave out the good counsel. That was a text that was brought out. And I said, thank you. That was from the captain. And we did. And that's all we were there for. And listen, I wasn't there for accolades. I was there to share the gospel as best as I could. Because listen, just like you and I right now, we got minutes before God. Listen, there's an appointed time. And I don't know when our time will be.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So time is of the essence. And, and I really believe that, you know, many churches are wasting time. Many churches are playing this oh, love God and Jesus moment. And they're forgetting that the salvation plan, just like here, clearly and concise. My friend, I don't need all the accolades, the big church and the songs and the dance and all this other stuff. What you need is the word.
Amen.
What you need is the word. The word is what's going to change your soul. And I see this, but you know what? There are many devices in a man's heart. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, what happens? The counsel of the Lord is what?
That shall stay.
That shall stay. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for that blessed hope that he's given us. I want my old man to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get rid of this old man. I can't get rid of him when I'm not in Christ. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I have a relationship, but a lot of times we keep the old man in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to let him go. We think we can bargain with God and, you know, have a little bit. You know, I'll give you 98% and I'll keep 2%, Lord. You know, I'll work with you. Bargain with me, Lord, and just come on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Come on my side and just work with me. I know you love me. I know you'll let me go through, you know, and then you just spank me if I'm a bad boy. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. God is just.
Amen.
And his judgment is right and is just. And that's what we need. And I'm thankful for that. Finally, family, let me share another point. Because God will save anyone who will call upon him.
Amen.
There is no doubt in my heart of what I see here. When I look at these and I understand it verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Mm.
Think about this man who was condemned to death by the Romans, who knew that he was justly there, ready to deserve the penalty of what he was to deserve as death. Horrible death. All right? But yet, he listened. And he found that there was a graceful, merciful God next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing he had to do was just to turn and said, Lord, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, we're working so hard to try to keep our own salvation and our own understanding. And God is saying, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
Listen, no, stop. Do this God's way. Draw near to him. You know, please take note of this. Right then and there, these two criminals became illustrations of the only two ways that anyone anywhere, including everyone in this room today, can react to the cross of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That was this picture. Once you've confronted with the idea that God will look down upon us in mercy for our sins and will send his son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sins, so you either have a broken and contrite heart, or you could be like the other guy, he had a hardened heart.
Mm.
You could have the choice. It's clear because the world does not understand what this picture is about here. But it's clear and concise. And I appreciate that because when I look at what God, you know, when he died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin, my friend, I am thankful that I humble myself and I realize the sin. I was like, this guy, remember me. I called him Lord. I just submitted to him. I didn't mock him. I didn't disregard him. I didn't move away from him. I drew near to him.
Amen.
Because God has softened my heart and let me see that I was a sinner, destitute to hell. And I thank him for that. The two thieves on the cross that they hung there beside Jesus, one asked for help. The other one turned from him. And you see, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near.
Yeah.
Family, I want you to understand, when the Bible says, let the wicked forsake their way,
mm-hmm.
you got to understand that God is speaking to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we don't want to forsake what's in here. We want to continue to keep that which is right in our own eyes. And you know, this other thief, although he knew who Jesus was, just never asked for salvation. Mm-hmm. Just never did anything. Because his decision is that, you know what? I don't need God.
Mm.
I don't need a savior.
Mm.
And so is much of the world in the same problem. Mm. And many have gone to hell because of the same statement.
Mm.
And many have chosen outside of what God has given.
Mm.
The other thief, he asked.
Mm.
But see, what about the routine of our lives? How many of us live in daily torment?
Mm.
Living as though we have no hope. When we all have to do is just call upon the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God is close. God is near. God loves you.
Yeah.
You see, salvation isn't something that the believer gets. Salvation is something that the believer possesses. You got to understand how God is so awesome here. In the midst of life, God's desire is to save you, to give you the reason of hope, to help you understand that there's hope for tomorrow and there's hope for right now.
That's right.
And so God gives you this, you know. He's willing to forgive, but he also forgets. And I really appreciate that from our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we conclude here, family, I want you to understand that the way that this great conversation ended proves that he was very wise and wise indeed of what he said. He said, "Surely I say to you, today, right? You will be where? In paradise." Think about the blessed hope of that statement.
Mm.
When I see what God had done here, he heard a man who confessed his sin. He knew that he was not righteous before a holy God.
Mm.
He understood that right then and there. He didn't need the scriptures to tell him that.
Mm.
He saw the compassion of Christ.
That's right.
He saw the love of Christ. Mm. And he understood that, listen, I deserve hell. This is my punishment, for the wages of sin is death. But he understood that the gift of God was eternal life through
Hallelujah.
Him on the cross without that scripture.
Mm.
Without that scripture. And what did he do? He confessed with his mouth, didn't he?
That's right, he did.
He was as clear as daylight.
Amen.
He believed in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, just confess. And he did. He said, Lord, remember me.
Mm.
And God says, you shall be saved. Today you'll be in paradise.
Amen.
What a simple plan of salvation, yes, family. Amen. When I see this here, after Jesus uttered those words, I wonder if that guilty, sin-burdened criminal didn't weep for joy as he hung on the cross.
I bet he did.
Think about that.
He went home.
What a promise. Everything that Jesus says is absolutely true. But when he says, "Assuredly I say to you," you can bank on eternity with that one.
Amen.
That is guaranteed.
Amen.
You know, before the dark day was over, the Son of God would once again be in the realms of his heavenly glory. And his criminal would be with him.
Yeah.
It has been 2,000 years since the conversation occurred, but my friend, this is the same story that we talk about today, because it was that real then and this is real now.
That's right.
It is as real now. Hopefully I can suggest a couple of very important lessons out of this whole thing. One is that we should always remember what it takes in the sight of God to be saved. Sometimes we add a whole lot of requirements to what is necessary for someone to be saved. We come up with a lot of rules and regulations. We come up with a lot of rituals and ceremonies. You know, we do the do's and don'ts, you know, of how a man ought to be saved or perfect and this or that. And God is saying, just call upon the name of the Lord. You don't need a lot of these rituals. You don't even have, listen, it's not about even being a member of this church.
That's right.
It's about this heart, a broken heart that needs salvation.
Amen.
One of the great things that this criminal story teaches us is that there is only one thing that is necessary to be saved, and that is just to trust in Jesus.
Amen.
The payment was done on the cross. It was clear. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is clear that God has given us all this so that we may know.
Mm.
But the Bible also tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts. I mean, when I look at this and I understand that he's telling us salvation, because the Bible says for the heart One believes unto righteousness. This heart right here, just like this man did, but with the mouth, what he did, he confessed, and it was made unto salvation.
Amen.
He confessed it. And so when I see this here, all this that this man did was just turn to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me.
Amen.
You know, and it's just like us today. We need to remember what God has done for us. Listen, we shouldn't take this story, and just, thank God for doing what he did.
Mm.
You know, that kind of regular, yeah, it was a great story. No, my friend, remember that wait until we are breathing our final breath on our deathbed. And only then use one of those last breath to cry out to Jesus.
Mm.
You might not have that chance, but usually we play that.
Yeah.
That last week, I'm just going to wait until tomorrow. I would recommend not. There's a terrible presumption here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people actually have the luxury on the deathbed. None of us in this room, all right, can even know for certain whether we will make it there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We think we're going to get to this deathbed and everything's going to be fine, and then I can just justify everything with God and get it right.
Mm-hmm.
No. Today is a perfect day of salvation.
That's right.
You do not know what your tomorrow may be. And this is the importance of this. When the Bible talks about it, this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. For he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so we see that in the story. And I'll tell you, if you don't know for certain who you are in Christ, if you don't know that your relationship is real in Christ, and you don't know if this salvation, you know, that we're talking about you having Christ, today is the perfect day.
Amen.
Today is the perfect day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I share with you this wonderful truth that we can embrace this Christ just like this criminal.
Mm.
We can submit to hearing what thus saith the Lord to our soul, and saying, Lord, remember me.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Mm.
God loves you. Loved you enough, just like the thief on the cross. But here's the point that I encourage you with right now. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, my friend, I just want you to know that God loves you.
Hallelujah.
He desires that no one perish, but have everlasting life. This is the day that God maybe knocked at your soul and at the door of your heart. And he's been knocking and saying, would you fellowship with me? Would you let me in? Remember, God is not going to force himself. He never will. He never forced himself on the cross. He just showed his love. And this man realized that he was a sinner about you. In front of a just and holy God, what is your statement? Are you born again? Or are you still a sinner trying to figure it out in your own understanding and chancing to see what was going to happen whenever, however?
Mm.
I would encourage you to give God a fair hearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask you to reason within your own soul and ask, do you know Jesus as Savior? As explained, not just that he loves you, but you got to understand, like the other thief, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to save you. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to live eternally with him. But the condition is his. It's not yours. You must confess with your mouth, just like this thief did. You must recognize that there's no one righteous, no, not one. We all fall very short of that glory. And again, the wages of sin is death. You got to understand this, and you must confess your sin before a holy God, and you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So in this salvation, seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Draw nigh to him and say, I'm sorry. Lord, save me and remember me. It's a very easy prayer. It's never been a hard prayer. Only thing that is hard is our pride that don't want to let God in.
Mm-hmm.
Would you stop that for a moment? Would you humble yourself And if you've never accepted Him in truth and in spirit, would you pray this prayer with me and be honest with Him and say, Lord Jesus, today I saw the story of Your compassion and Your love between two sinners. One said yes, one said no. I want to be the one to say yes. I want to be the one to confess to You right now that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I deserve hell just like this malefactor deserved his punishment. But Jesus, I don't want to die in sin. I don't want to die separate from You. I don't want to be in hell because I had the chance to get saved. And I know that right now You're speaking to my soul, so I'm asking You, Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive me for my sins. I confess who I am before You. And Father, I'm just asking to please have mercy upon me as a sinner. And save me. From this day forward, I commit myself to You. I humble myself before You. And I ask You to remember me in all that we're saying here. Lord, would You save me now and be my Lord and Savior from here going forward? For this is what I pray. This is what I ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. No one looking. All eyes closed. Just be honest with your own soul and be honest with the God whom you pray to. To be one to be honest with Him and say, Lord, you know what? Today I've accepted You. Today I called upon the name of the Lord. Today I wanted to get saved, and today You saved me. Would that testimony of your own soul be real enough to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me, because today was my day of salvation. Today was the perfect day. Who has that testimony here today? Who would be bold enough to raise your hand and say, thank You, Jesus, for saving me right now? Praise the Lord.